Father, we pray as we come to this psalm that you might bless us with faith. Help me to faithfully speak your truth. Help all of us to receive your truth with hearts filled with faith that want to live in the light, that wants to live in the light of your truth. Father, we pray that you might both motivate us and equip us through what we read here in Psalm 25 for the times when we walk in the dark valleys. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like everybody else, as I suggested at the beginning, bad things sometimes happen to God's people. The marriage that was going to be perfect turns into a nightmare. The marriage that you long for never eventuates. You're trapped in a terrible work situation, but you can't escape because there are bills and debts that have to be paid. You keep getting made redundant, and so it's always a stress to keep on top of those bills and debts. The black dog of depression, or that eating disorder, or the anxiety, or the host of other ways that our brain can become our enemy. The external enemy, the bully who wants your position, or your reputation, or your friends. The betrayal that comes out of nowhere and smashes you for six. The loved one cut down too early. It was only months ago that many of us attended the funeral of little stillborn Michaela. Many of us are praying every day for our brother Tim in Royal North Shore. Just like everyone else, bad things happen to God's people. How do God's people respond? The person who knows God and walks with God, what does their response look like? It looks like Psalm 25. The psalm is a psalm of David. We do not know the specific life circumstances it reflects, but whatever they were, David is clearly in a dark valley. In verse 2, he faces the opposition of enemies who threaten to triumph over him. In verse 19, these hostile forces just seem to be multiplying around him. And by the end of the psalm, it's not just David the king, but the whole nation who are in trouble. In verse 16, he feels lonely and afflicted. In verse 17, he is in anguish, and the troubles of his heart are multiplying as fast as his enemies. It's like the external pressure and the internal pressure are just relentlessly crushing him. Whatever the specific circumstances, David is in a dark valley in life. Sufferings are coming at him from without and from within. But despite these circumstances, and despite some pretty despicable things that David has in his past, David walked with God. He knew God, he loved God, and he sought to honour God. God has been shaping David for a lifetime, sanctifying him for a lifetime. And so God instructs us in what a godly response to suffering and difficulty looks like through this prayer of David, this godly king. And I want to highlight six things that characterise David's response to suffering and difficulty in the psalm. Six aspects of the response that he makes. Here's the first one. He lifts his soul to God in trust. He lifts his soul to God in trust. You see it in the very first verse. You see it? To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. In you I trust, O my God. The image of lifting his soul is about him handing over his whole self to God in trusting dependence. He is entrusting his whole life and all of its outcomes into the hands of God. David recognises that God is ultimately in control. King though he is, David is humbly acknowledging a power far greater than him. And he is trusting himself to that power. In verse 5, you see, he puts his hope in God. In verse 20, he tells God, I take refuge in you. In the face of his troubles and trials, David knows that God alone is the ultimate solution and the ultimate source of deliverance. And we often forget that when things are going well in life, don't we? Prosperity, success, comfort, these can be a fog that hide God's sovereignty from us and delude us into thinking that we don't need him. That other forces or our own capacity will take care of us, as if those things were somehow independent of his sovereign control over all things. Sometimes great trial is actually a blessing because it forces us to recognize the delusion of all of that. The godly person recognizes that their whole life is dependent on God. And so when life is difficult and challenging, they trust themselves to God as the one who even controls the difficulties and the challenges. Suffering causes them to turn to the God who can actually do something in their situation instead of away from God in more futile and feeble directions. I'm reminded of Jesus hanging on that cross, bearing the weight of divine judgment against human sin, facing the crushing weight of our sin and lifting his eyes to heaven and saying, into your hands I commit my spirit. When difficulties and challenges multiply in the life of the godly person, they lift their soul to God in trust. They turn to him instead of away from him. They cling to the rock seeking refuge instead of stepping out into the sandstorm in search of some better shelter in the desert. Which way do you turn when difficulties and challenges multiply? Where do you seek your refuge? Is your instinct to sink into paralyzing anxiety? Or to get aggro with God for daring to let these things happen to you? Or is it to lift your soul in trust to God? Second aspect of David's response to suffering and difficulty is to ask God for deliverance from his troubles. He asks God for deliverance from his troubles. Sometimes Christians are willing to ask God to sustain them in difficult circumstances, but not to ask God to remove them from those difficult circumstances. But David doesn't share that reticence. Look at verse 2. He says, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Look at verse 17. He asks, free me from my anguish. In verse 20, see there, he asks, guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame. When we face challenges and difficulties, we should bring them to God and we should ask him to take them away. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Whatever we're anxious about, we bring our request to God. And we do it knowing that God really is sovereign, and he really is able to do more than all we ask or imagine. It's perfectly right to bring every anxiety to God, to bring him our request, including our request for deliverance. If you're a Christian and you're anxious about something, I don't know why you would not do that. Sometimes people seem frightened that if they ask and God doesn't grant their request, then God ends up looking bad and his reputation will be tarnished, and they don't want that. To which I say, you let God worry about that. And you do what you're told, which is, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The godly person asks God for deliverance from their troubles, as David did. And they do it because they know God can deliver them. He raised his son from the dead. He can deliver us. But that's not all that they do. That's not all that they ask for. Sometimes our anxieties come to dominate everything, and all we pray about is, God, deliver me from this terrible situation. the danger or the pain or the sadness becomes everything. They dominate the horizon of our thinking and are the only thing we talk to God about. And so what has happened in our suffering, what has happened is that our suffering has become the central focus of our thinking instead of God. And I think that one of the most remarkable things about Psalm 25 is that it's clear this hasn't happened for David. Facing these terrible pressures from without and from within, yes, he prays for deliverance, but that's not all that he prays for. It's not even mostly what he prays for. The shape of the psalm is determined by his relationship with God rather than by his acute experience of suffering and difficulties. The heart of the psalm is him and God, not him and his sufferings and difficulties. And you see what I mean by examining the other four aspects of his response. David doesn't just ask God for deliverance, he also asks God for guidance. Did you notice verse 6? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. And then in the middle bit of the psalm, where he kind of stops praying and starts preaching, he says in verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And in verse 12 and 13, he shares his expectation that those who will listen and follow the instruction of the Lord will be led along paths of blessing. David knows that what he needs most in a dark valley is a lamp for his feet and a light for his path. In the dark valley, more than ever, we need the guidance, the instruction of the Lord. Sometimes he instructs to show us the way out of the dark valley. Sometimes he instructs to remind us that we never walk alone in the dark valley and to remind us of the character of the God who walks with us. Sometimes he instructs us so that we can see that he has led us into the dark valley for a reason. Sometimes he instructs to strengthen the faith we need when we're never going to see a reason. David knows that the dark valley only intensifies and makes more urgent his need to be guided by, to be instructed by the Lord. It's always interested me that in Jesus' most difficult moments, you see most clearly that he depended on the instruction of the Lord for guidance using the same instrument that's available to us, the Scriptures, God's Word. He faced the temptations in the wilderness when Satan's trying to go all out to distract him from the particular path that God has for him. And how does Jesus respond? He quotes the Scriptures to identify what's right and what's wrong. When Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin and they're goading him into either betraying his heavenly Father or condemning himself, what is his response? He goes to Daniel chapter 7, knowing it's God speaking about him. It reminds him who he is. As he experiences the cosmic agony of the cross, how does he make sense of it? My God, why are you forsaking me? He goes to Psalm 22, which is again about him. Divine Son that he was, Jesus' whole understanding of himself rested on the foundation of what God had spoken in the Scriptures. He knew himself to be who they said he was. He knew God to be who they said he was. He knew the future to be what they said it was. We always need the instruction of the Lord to guide us, but in the dark valley, we need it all the more. But in my experience, it is my experience that in those times, many people neglect the instruction of the Lord. That's why it's so important that we keep asking God to guide us and shape us in those times, as David does here. And at the same time, it's so important that we keep opening our Bibles and turning up to church, even when sufferings and difficulties made us just want to hide under a rock. We need to hear the voice of God in those times. We need God's guidance, and so we must seek it and we must ask for it, as David does. And we also need to ask God for something else that he asks for his loving forgiveness. He asks God for his loving forgiveness. This is one of the things that struck me most about Psalm 25, thinking about it this week. In verse 6, and then verse 11, and then verse 18, he seeks God's forgiveness on his sins. As David seeks God's deliverance from evil, he asks God's forgiveness of his own evil. Because David has spent his life devoted to the instruction of the Lord, he knows how far short he has fallen of God's will for him. He knows his sin. He knows there's nothing he can do about his sin except to seek that God would put it away and forgive it. And that is what is of first importance to him. The thing that is most important to David is that he is at peace with God rather than that he enjoys peace in this world. And so even in the midst of suffering and difficulty, he keeps praying that God will forgive his sin. I take it confident that God will, because of his great mercy and love. And I think this is what makes David's response so different to the responses that I have seen more than once over the years in the face of suffering and difficulty. Because sometimes Christians get angry with God. God, how could you let something like this happen to me? God, how could you let something like that happen to that beautiful Christian person? Now, in his grace and his kindness, God can handle that sort of anger. He can handle us being angry with him. But did you notice the assumption that we are making when we are thinking like that? God, I deserve better from you than this. God, they deserve better from you than this. I deserve better from you than this. And we really don't. Which David knew. God owes us zip. God is obligated to us 0%. We have no business. He can handle it when we do. But we have no business coming before him angry and accusing, no matter what he is throwing at us in life. Regardless of what is going on, we should always come as David did, humbly seeking mercy and love, because we are sinners and he is holy, and it's only because of his mercy and love exercised in the most ultimate way at the cross. That's the only reason we dare to approach him at all. David does ask God for deliverance, but he also asks God for guidance and for loving forgiveness. And in the last two aspects of his response, David doesn't so much ask God for things as remind himself of things. You may have noticed, did you see that the psalm, it clearly begins and ends as a prayer, yeah? You saw that? But in the middle, it kind of turns into this mini sermon, yeah? And in the mini sermon bit, David reminds himself of two things. Firstly, he reminds himself of the character of God. In verse 8, this man who's just expressed his own sin and need for forgiveness, see what he writes in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. Look at verse 10. In verse 10 he reminds himself, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Look at verse 14. He reminds himself, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. There's no point asking God for guidance and forgiveness if that's not the kind of God that he is. But David knows that God is good and upright. He knows God is loving and faithful. He knows God will share guidance and relationship with his people. When things are going incredibly badly in life, we need to remind ourselves of God's incredible character. We need to remind ourselves he is good and upright. We need to remind ourselves he is loving and faithful. Satan wants to use our feelings at those times to muck up our relationship with God so he can shipwreck our souls. And so we need to remind ourselves of the facts that remain true even in those times. David had the history of his people to look back on as his evidence for God's enduring goodness and uprightness, his enduring love and faithfulness. We have even more solid rock to stand on when it comes to those truths. We look back to the cross and the empty tomb, which make it impossible to doubt God's love or power, his goodness or his faithfulness. In the dark valley, we need to lift up our eyes and see the goodness of God. It's our consciousness of his goodness made so clear at the cross and the empty tomb. It's our consciousness of his goodness that means we can believe him when he says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you. Even in this dark valley, my grace is sufficient for you." David reminds himself of the character of God. And then the second thing he reminds himself of, and the final point I want to make, is this. He reminds himself what it looks like to walk with God regardless of our circumstances. He reminds himself what it looks like to walk with God regardless of our circumstances. Did you notice that as he's reflecting on the character of God, he's also reflecting on the right response to that God? And so it's the humble who God will guide and teach in verse 9. It's those who keep the demands of his covenant who will know God's love and faithfulness in verse 10. It's the man who fears the Lord who God will instruct and bless in verses 11 to 14. In verse 20, David has this expectation that his life of hope in God will be marked by integrity and uprightness. For David, whether he was walking in the bright sunlight of happy days or in the dark valley, it's important to walk in godliness, to be humble before God and faithfully obedient to God, to come before God with the fear of the Lord, with appropriate awe and respect, regardless of his circumstances. Why was it important? Because if we really remember who God is, there is really no other appropriate way to walk with him. And our life circumstances do not change that fact. They certainly never ever provide us with a legitimate excuse for neglecting to walk in godliness. When bad things happen to God's people, what does the godly response look like? It looks like lifting your soul to God in trust. And it's a trust that means God and me continues to be the focus, and not my suffering and me. And so even as we seek God's deliverance, we continue to seek just as fervently his guidance and peace with him. And for us to be able to sustain that in the midst of the dark valleys where it is not easy, we have to be reminding ourselves more than ever of his character, and therefore what it looks like to walk with him regardless of our circumstances. And can I suggest that when you discover that you have descended the path into one of these dark valleys, that a very, very good first instinct would be to open your Bible to Psalm 25 and to spend some time meditating on it and dwelling in it. That would be a very, very good first instinct when you discover that you have descended into one of the dark valleys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, some of us are in the valley now. We pray that you might lead us to respond as David does. For others, we are in, you know, sunny places, happy days. But Father, we pray that we will store these things that we discover in Psalm 25, so that we are equipped when the road turns down and the shadows grow long, so that our first instinct is the right one, Father. We know that you're a God who can deliver. We know you're a God of faithfulness and integrity, of love and uprightness. We know that's the sort of God you are. Help us to hang on to that knowledge when we find ourselves in a dark valley. And Father, help us not to be overcome by our troubles and our difficulties and our sorrows, Father, may those things never become the heart of our vision. May it only ever be you, regardless of our circumstances. And so, Father, may we respond the way that David did. And may we know the blessing of it, because it's part of your blessing on us. And may you be given glory through it. And Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.